Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this program. You know, this month, of course, this is April, so we're going to be celebrating Easter, or actually the resurrection of Jesus. We're not really celebrating Easter. That's in fact a pagan holiday, but we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Let me just encourage you, you know, don't get all torqued out or upset or condemned about the people who would try to make you feel bad about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus this time of the year. Have a great time, but make it about Jesus. Make it about His resurrection. Use this as a chance to teach your family what Jesus did for you through the death, burial, and resurrection. And listen, turn this into a great time of personal restoration for you, where you connect to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This series this month is going to be based on one of the most important messages I ever preached, 3 days that changed the world. You don't want to miss one word of it. I probably had more testimonies about the series 3 days that changed the world than almost any other series I've ever preached, because what Jesus did through His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His inheritance is the basis for every aspect of our new covenant life. And sadly, we know less about that than we do anything else. This series is going to change everything about how you relate to God. 3 days that changed the world. Man alive. Just stop and think about it. All of the world's history changed around the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been no other single event that has impacted all of history as much as this event. And this is the most significant event for every believer. This is where all of our faith is focused and where all of our faith comes alive. And everything that we're going to experience with God, we're going to experience because of what happened in these 3 days and because of what we believe or about these 3 days. Now, I'll tell you, I want you to understand something. When I was first saved, or really when I was a little child, we learned about Jesus. We learned a little bit about Him going around doing miracles. I learned a little bit about Him doing this good thing or that good thing. And basically, we looked on Jesus or the life of Jesus to get some sense of understanding who He was. And really, we were basing our faith on Jesus as the Son of God, just on what occurred during His life. Now, in Jesus' life, yes, He did some incredibly remarkable things. In His life, He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. He showed us what God would look like in real life. You see, when you would read the Old Testament, you'd get these ideas, you'd extrapolate these doctrines, you'd have these concepts that you would walk away with that really may or may not be correct, or you'd make these assumptions about what moved God or why God did certain things. But as we have discovered, religious men, I call them religionists, you know, the men who had their own agenda, men whose doctrines were based on the doctrines of demons, or what I call a Luciferian doctrine, that we interpreted the Bible based on the religious corruption that had been sown into our hearts and minds. So even though we had the Bible, we still had an inability to see what God really looked like, what His nature, what His character was all about. So when Jesus comes to planet Earth, He does only what He sees the Father do. He speaks only what the Father has spoken. Everything he does is an exact representation, according to Hebrews 1:3, of God. And so now we don't have to wonder what God's like. Now we don't have to guess at the nature of God. We don't have to guess how God relates to healing or why he heals people or how he heals. We don't have to guess about any of that kind of stuff. We don't have to wonder how God relates to people who are struggling with some life challenges, who are struggling with sin. We don't have to wonder how God feels about religion or any of these kinds of things, because we can look at Jesus and say, this is the way God would have talked to a bunch of religious people that were trying to take people into religious captivity. This is the way God would have shown mercy and challenged a person who was really, really in serious sin. This is how God would have recovered a person that has backslidden, has slipped away and done something. Man, I tell you, we can look at this to see God. But also, Jesus was the Word made flesh. So Jesus came and he brought us grace and truth. And we've talked about this on a lot of programs. And that word truth means that he didn't come and bring us new truth. He didn't come and bring us new information about God. What he did was he was the perfect representation of the true intentions that God had in everything that he ever said. You see, you can't understand the Old Testament if you think the God of the Old Testament was full of wrath, full of anger, full of judgment, out to get everybody. And Jesus showed us everything that God intended by everything that he ever spoke. And so we get to see what the Word would look like if love was the core motive of everything that God had ever said. Buddy, I tell you what, when you start seeing love as the core motive of everything God ever said and everything God ever did, suddenly you can read the Old Testament. It comes alive with mercy and kindness. And even in things that you didn't understand in the past about God, you start realizing there's something working that's bigger and greater than you had thought in the past. But Jesus also showed us in his life what a man full of the Holy Spirit, yielding to the grace of God, could do if he believed the truth about himself and if he believed the truth about God. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these, because I go to my Father." So Jesus showed us exactly what we could look like in this earth as far as how we minister to people, how we help people, what we do with our lives, you know, whether or not we live a godly life or not. All of those things Jesus modeled to us. But interestingly, even though all of that is valuable, even though all that opens our eyes, even though all of that helps our faith in certain areas, the real truth is none of that has really much of anything to do with the benefits or the relationship or the conditions whereby we relate to God under the new covenant. You see, everything that we have in God right now in the new covenant, now, keep in mind, there's an old covenant, there's a new covenant. You know, the old covenant would be sort of like, back in the 70s, you may not be aware of it, but interest rates in the 70s and the 80s got up to about 18%. I remember we built a building, and when I borrowed the money to finance the building projects, the bank would loan it to me for 15%, and I ended up paying 18% so that I didn't have to pay a big down payment and a bunch of closing costs. Man, can you imagine? You know, today I'm probably paying less than 5% interest on the mortgage on our property. Well, 5% versus 18%, man, that's a big deal. So can you imagine your contract, your covenant with the bank is, we're going to let you use this building, as often as you want. And our contract says, this is what you've got to do. You've got to have insurance on the building, and you've got to pay 18% interest, which means that your building payment, could be X number of $1,000. Just make up a figure. So $10,000. Your building payment is $10,000. And so time goes by, and you have the opportunity to get a new covenant or a new contract on your mortgage. So you go down here and you talk to them and you find out you can get this new mortgage for 3.5%. So now, instead of paying $10,000 a month on your building payment, you get all of these benefits. But the difference is now you get these benefits for a building payment of $3,000. That's your new covenant. That's your new deal. Now, you're not going to keep making a building payment of $10,000 when the covenant says all you have to pay is $3,000 or $2,500. That's the way it is in the New Testament. The new covenant is a contract. And, you know, one of the clauses that's in almost every contract is that this contract supersedes all previous agreements, whether written, oral, or implied. In other words, this negates every agreement that we had before. So the new covenant negates all of the arrangement about how we would relate to God, about what the promises were from God, and how God dealt with the penalties, if you will, and so now we have a new contract, we have a new covenant, and this is how we relate to God. Now, that doesn't mean, as I've said so many times, that the Old Testament is done away. It just means that the old covenant has been done away. In other words, all those promises in the Old Testament, they're still mine, but they are mine under different conditions. All of the old curses of the Old Testament have been done away with because in this new contract, in this new covenant, we have different conditions. But I want you to realize, everything about this new contract, everything I have in this new contract, in this new covenant of how I'm going to relate to God, what my privileges are, what my benefits are, how life is supposed to work for me, every bit of that is dependent on what happened while Jesus was on the cross, while Jesus was in the grave, when and how Jesus was raised from the dead, and what Jesus received as his inheritance. So this means that my faith as a new covenant believer has to be based on what happened based on these 3 days. 3 days and three nights, Jesus was in the grave. And you know, I always like to tell people, if you want to know how ignorant we are of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, just try to calculate the idea that the church tells us that Jesus died on Friday and he was raised on Sunday. Let me explain this to you. It doesn't matter if you squint your eyes or how you hold your mouth. You can never make from Friday evening until Sunday morning be 3 days and three nights. Jesus was not crucified on Friday evening. It doesn't calculate out. But we do actually know when Jesus was crucified, and it was 3 days and three nights, and he was crucified in conjunction with what was going on over in the temple and the sacrifices that were going on in the temple. But I only bring that out because, I mean, if we're deceived about when Jesus was crucified, how long he was in the grave, even though the Bible says something totally different, what else are we deceived about? What else do we misunderstand? What else is it that we have assumed to be true, that religion has told us, that in fact is completely inaccurate? And, you know, and I'm not saying that anybody has told us these things to deceive us, or that anybody has told us these things to hurt us. I'm saying that through tradition, information has been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation, and we have accepted it, and we're trying to participate in this arrangement with God. We're trying to participate in this covenant with God, and the truth is, we don't even know what happened. We don't even know why the covenant is ours. We don't even know why the covenant works. We don't even know what happened during the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the most important thing about which we should have a clear understanding and about which we should have an immovable, unshakable faith. But even though people talk about the cross and the message of the cross, and we know that the message of the cross is the death, burial, and resurrection, and subsequent inheritance, but in fact, even though people make passing references to the cross, the real truth is there is probably less accurate biblical information taught about the cross than any other single New Testament event. Yet, this is the pivotal point of our faith working. This is where it all comes together. Now, I want you to understand something. When Jesus went to the cross, he participated, the Bible tells us, in what I call the great exchange. Now, understand, Jesus went to the cross. Everything he did when he was on the cross, he did by faith. In other words, he trusted God. He trusted God that even though he was going to be alienated from God and become sin and take the punishment for all mankind, he trusted that God's promise to him about being raised up in righteousness, that God's promise to him about being raised up in newness of life was an absolute promise and that he could trust God. He trusted God. He endured the shame of the cross because, man, he looked ahead to the prize that was ahead. He looked ahead to the promise that God had given him. He trusted God in every aspect. I mean, everything that he encountered, he faced it because in his heart, he trusted the Word of God. He trusted what God had already said, what God had already promised. So Jesus goes to the cross, and he becomes everything that we would become. We are before getting saved. He suffers everything that we would have to suffer if he had not done it for us. He pays every price. You know, the Bible says we owed a debt. I like the way the song says, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. And that's the way it was. We had a debt. You know, there are many people who do not believe that Jesus really paid this debt and that Jesus actually had to suffer the things that he suffered. Well, you know what? That's fine if you choose to believe that, but if that's what you choose to believe, then you have no faith in what Jesus actually accomplished, and you can only experience by faith some degree of religion. You can only experience some degree of feeling like you're enlightened or something. But when you start twisting what God said about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I got news for you. You are twisting the most significant event in world history and in spiritual history, and you are twisting yourself right out of experiencing and knowing the life of God. So Jesus, he goes to the cross. Everything is by faith. And in fact, whenever he was raised from the dead, he was raised up by his own faith. He believed God's promise. He would not let go of God's promise. So he is raised up by his own faith. And now we have the opportunity, the Bible tells us, to be reconciled to God. Now, you know, there are many people today that are teaching that the whole world's already reconciled to God. Well, that's really a half truth. Jesus has died for the sins of the world. Jesus has paid the price for every man's sin. But the Apostle Paul, after the resurrection of Jesus, he implored people to enter into or to participate in this exchange, which means that even though Jesus has done his part, we don't participate in it. We don't experience it in our life until we enter into this exchange, this trading places, if you will, where he takes all that we deserve and we take all that he deserves. And that's why it's the great exchange, is because we literally traded places. And just like Jesus had to use his faith to participate in it, we have to use our faith to participate in it, or otherwise we do not experience the grace, the power, the strength of God to know this as a reality in our life. Now, here's a really, really key thing you want to come to realize about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Anything that Jesus did not experience through the death, burial, and resurrection and inheritance, you would personally have to experience it and pay for it yourself if he didn't pay for it. In other words, when the Bible talks about Jesus being alienated from God, again, there's people saying, oh, he wasn't really alienated from God. Oh, yeah, he was really alienated from God. The language of the New Testament and the language of the Old Testament makes it very clear that Jesus became our sin. He didn't just talk about our sin. He didn't just carry our sin. He became sin. He was alienated from God. Why? Because if he hadn't been, we would have to be alienated from God for our sin. The Bible tells us that he died the death that we should have died. Why? Because otherwise, we would have to die that death. The Bible tells us he went to Hades, the abode of the wicked. Why? Because if he had not gone, we would have had to have gone. The Bible says that he used his faith to be raised from the dead. Now, if he had not done that, we would have to face that and do it by our own faith. The Bible then says he cast Satan out of heaven and stripped him of all principality and power. Why? So we would never have to fight with him and fight that battle with him personally. The Bible says that he sat down at the right hand of God and received an inheritance. And why? Because had he not done all that, we would have had to bring about our own inheritance. And so Jesus used his faith to accomplish all that he accomplished in this great exchange, and we use our faith to enter into it. You know, Romans 5:6 says this. It says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man alive, isn't it amazing that Christ died for us before we ever made the decision to accept him, before we ever made a decision to give our life, before we ever made a decision to get out of sin. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. Well, and that's the truth. You know, people think that God only does what he does for good people. Let me tell you something. God does what he does for the world and offers it as a free gift that we can receive anytime we want to accept it, based on believing his truth. It says, verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man alive, this is the place where we see God's love. This is the place where we see what the Bible calls the propitiation, the satisfying of God's wrath against our sin. And God did it for us when we didn't deserve it, when we didn't want it, when we didn't love him, when we didn't want him. Verse 9 says, much more than having been justified or made righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we're made righteous by his blood, and because we are in him, or the word through him can mean in him or through him, we are saved from the wrath of God. We are delivered from his wrath, and being delivered from his wrath, we have peace with God. The Bible calls this the covenant of peace. You know, the covenant that we have with God is called the covenant of peace because it is the covenant that God made with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't make it with us. He made it with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he promised the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know, even though you're going to go for this, even though you're going to be rejected for a while, he says, you know, my mercy is going to be restored to you. And he says, my covenant of peace will not be removed. And he basically says, you'll never come under judgment. People say, well, see, that's about Jesus. Well, you see, we are in Jesus. He did all of that for us. We never have to fear God being against us. We never have to fear God pouring out his wrath on us because Jesus paid every bit of the price. You see, when the Bible tells us that we need to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as Lord, it's really not just talking about the fact that God raised him from physical death. You know, there have been a lot of people raised from physical death. Jesus raised people from physical death when he was walking planet Earth. Even in the Old Testament, people were raised from physical death. But believing that God raised Jesus from the dead is where we believe that he did become our sin, that he did pay the price, that he did suffer all for us. In other words, we believe God's account, and we believe that even though Jesus became sin, when God raised him up, he raised him up. He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. Listen, this is the most important thing you'll ever hear. Come back in just a few minutes. I want to share a mentoring moment with you. I want to invite you to join me this year for our World Changer Weekend. It's in July. It's in July every single year. You can go to our website and see what date it is. This is where our world changers come together. The people who are investing in the entire world come together, and I invest in you. I reach out to you. We have great worship. We have great time of ministry. We have great time of the Word. I usually bring in some people that are going to be powerful and minister to you, and I share a lot of insight and things that are going on in our ministry. And the second thing I want to do, I want to encourage you to consider becoming a world changer, because as a world changer, you can participate in our efforts to reach 1 billion people with the gospel of grace, peace, faith, righteousness, and the unconditional love of God. If you want to become a world changer, either go to our website and check it out, or give us a call at 256-536-9402 and talk to one of our World Changer team members. We want you on our team. We want to change the way the world sees God. The most important thing you'll ever do for your faith is get a clear biblical understanding of what happened through the death, burial, resurrection, and subsequent inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have nothing in God other than what Jesus obtained by His faith, and you participate in that by your faith in what He's accomplished for you. This series is going to change everything about how you experience God. You know, it's absolutely essential that you wrap your mind around this information about the death, burial, and resurrection. But you can't just stop there. This is not just about the information, even though the information is the starting place. You know, if you don't renew your mind with what Jesus did for you through His death, burial, and resurrection, what He obtained for you in the inheritance, then the problem is when you are faced with a challenge, the only place that you can go in your mind is to some philosophy, some humanistic or religious philosophy, something that may contradict how we're supposed to relate to God. Listen, it's idolatry, it's our form of idolatry to go to God on the basis of anything other than the finished work of Jesus. When we go to God based on I've got faith in my faith, when we go to God, and you should have faith in your faith, I don't want to totally trash it, you should be confident in your faith, but your faith should be in the finished work of Jesus. And if your faith is in anything else, then you're trusting something other than the death, burial, and resurrection. And the whole covenant, the whole provision of the covenant, the whole promise of the covenant, the whole protection of the covenant is all based on what we have in Him because of this exchange that's taking place. So renew your mind so that immediately when you are faced with a challenge, it comes up in your mind. No, this is my Jesus took care of this for me. Now, another thing I want to encourage you to do is this. On our website, I want you to go in and maybe for Easter, take communion with your family. I have a communion service that we keep on our website. And I'll tell you, for Easter, get your family together, get your friends together, get your prayer group together, your Bible study group together, and do this biblically based communion that revolves around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I'm telling you, this is where you start to cement this experience in your heart and in your mind. But you want to start fighting every battle that goes on in your mind about what's happening to you, about what should be happening to you, about what you're not going to allow to happen in your life and what you're going to call forth in your life. You want every bit of that to be based on what you know Jesus did for you at the cross. And I'll tell you, when that's your basis, your faith is immovable.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.